Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting and slightly scary episode. We are here with Scientology Part 2. Josh is bringing it to you.
Oh, I'm bringing it.
You're bringing it, and I literally cannot wait for the comment section on YouTube. It's going to be a battle.
Yep, I'm balls to the wall on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Confident.
I'm very confident. And I just can't wait.
Okay. Well, I suppose without further ado, we should probably get stuck in.
Yeah, let's do it. So, well, just before we get stuck in, as always, I tend to get my research a little bit wrong. Not that big of a deal. After doing research for part two, there was some things I came across that I was like, oh, I didn't know that because I didn't see it at the time.
Some updates, yeah.
So just a couple of updates, if you will. So I mentioned that the first attempt of Clearwater was unsuccessful. Turns out later on it was actually successful. And Clearwater, Florida is actually one of the main hubs for Scientology
these days, yeah.
So there's just that little one. And poor choice of words. I said L. Ron Hubbard stepped down in 1966. What I should have said was he stepped back. So he was very much in control all the way up to his death. But those 15 to 20 years, he just had a bit more help and he wasn't living on land.
You said he was living on his boat. So he wasn't like actually sort of involved in the community of it. He was kind of like the fat cat sat at the top just issuing orders or whatever, I suppose.
Yeah, so he was still very much in charge, basically. But I made it sound as if he was retired.
Yeah, though, well, that's what I thought last week, but yeah, yeah, you've cleared that up. Yeah,
yes, so. And the other one?
The other one was my bad. When you said that he took a second wife when he was still married to his first, and I asked if that was part of the religion like the Mormons, mm-hmm. I got that wrong. Generally, Mormons only have one wife.
Mm-hmm.
There is an offshoot of the Mormons called the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ and the Latter-day Saints. So technically they kind of used to be Mormons, but they kind of veered off.
Oh, okay.
Those are the people that were quite into their polygamy and their multiple wives,
yeah.
However legal that is. But like I said last week, they do kind of... they keep their own little communities, keep themselves to themselves, and there's been very little success in trying to wipe that sort of thing out.
Okay,
but so it's the fundamental. They call themselves fundamentalists, not Mormons. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, now that we've
cleared that up,
I can say part two as well, I did double check, and everything I'm about to say today is... It's
out there, man. It's on the internet, isn't it? You can research this for yourself if you mm-hmm. are if you're listening to this and you're more interested in finding more about Scientology. I'm sure Josh has done a brilliant job of this second part today.
Yeah.
But we, obviously, because some other podcasts have had quite a lot of backlash from mm-hmm. Scientologists, I'm hoping that here in the UK we're a little bit safer than some of them. But we are kind of expecting hate emails from them, you know, that kind of thing, and we just like to make doubly sure that everybody knows that that we've not made any of this up.
No, nothing.
All of Josh's research is what he's pulled from the internet. Anybody can go mm-hmm. and find it.
Yeah,
if you know where to look.
100%. Yeah, even if some of the things I say, you're like, that can't be true. Even just using a search engine, typing in certain keywords, you will find all the articles, everything that I'm about to say.
Yeah.
So without further ado,
let's dive in.
Call me Mr. Tangerine, because it is about to get juicy, my friend. So, we last left off. I tickled your teats.
You did.
And
you left me hanging, man.
I left you hanging, and we ended with L. Ron Hubbard passing away. And
handing on the crown, if you like, to David Miscavige.
Yes,
yeah.
That is the one. So now prepare to be milked. So I will just touch on, there was a brief period in between Hubbard and Miscavige.
You said, yeah, last week there was a guy and his wife who were sort of managing things a little bit.
So Pat and Annie Broker.
Right.
They were married and they were... high up in the rankings of Scientology. They were very close friends of L. Ron Hubbard up until the point where he died. I'm pretty sure they were some of the Scientologists kind of looking after him. And
before we go into this, mm-hmm. can you just explain the ranking system of Scientology? Because like this week, okay. where we've sort of been talking backwards and forwards about things, you keep going on about, oh, this guy's level 3 and level... I mean, how does that work?
So...
just a general outline.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you a general outline because I'll go into more detail later on.
Yeah.
The general outline is OT stands for something thetan.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, God, I need to find it.
Well, you can find that bit later, but...
okay, when we come across it. Basically, there's 8 levels. So you start off at the bottom, which is known as the bridge, which is basically like apprentices.
Like OT zero.
Yeah, basically it's an OT zero, and they refer to it as the bridge.
Yeah.
So everyone's the same level. You're basically servants just doing what they say. And OT8 is the top level.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in Scientology, after spending millions and lots of money, they just about get to OT3.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? And OT3...
it's that exclusive to get to the top.
Oh, yeah. There's actually very few people... especially now that Scientology has moved on to modern times. Mm-hmm. In the 60s, 70s and 80s, you had a lot of OT8s and OT7s, high-end members. But nowadays, you don't have many OT level 8s, top of the top. So essentially, that is basically, there's 8 levels, and OT3 is where you learn what Scientology is actually about, which I will beautifully explain later on.
Yeah.
So that's basically 8 levels. So when Hubbard died, he left a memo for Pat and Annie Broker to take over the Church of Scientology.
Yeah.
So Scientology in the 80s wasn't as popular as it had been for several years, with more members leaving the church than ever before. But Scientology still had its loyal, devoted members, like the Miscavige family. Ronald and Loretta Miscavige had been Catholics up until they had twins, David and Denise. As a child, David suffered from asthma and allergies, so his father decided to send him to the Church of Scientology to get help. And after one 45-minute Dianetic session, David Miscavige was cured.
Oh, well, oh, yeah, so this relates to what you said about last week, where they were advertising, we can cure your ailments if you've got polio or whatever it was.
Yep.
And so he was actually a subject of that,
yeah,
that process, I guess.
And this actually led to the whole family becoming Scientologists in 1971.
Well, I guess if you... child that you didn't think could be cured was suddenly cured by whatever means, you would be a believer, wouldn't you?
I guess you would. Yeah, you can't really blame them there.
Yeah.
And the Miscavages, they were devoted in teaching the ways of Scientology and even broke some rules to move to West Sussex in England. So do you remember before we said about people being...
Yeah, not allowed to migrate to different certain countries,
yeah,
if you are a follower of Scientology, yeah.
But they, when they moved to England, they were part of a headquarters that was established in St. Hill Manor. And this is also where David began his training at the age of 12 and became the youngest professional auditor in history of Scientology.
Wow.
So he has that to his name. And some of the members of the church started calling him the prodigy or prodigy child.
Okay.
Because from a young age, becoming this auditor, they were like, that's the guy. That's the one to watch.
Yeah, I'm going to save this thought for later, but you've just given me a spark of a thought there.
Oh, are you thinking what I'm thinking, where they kind of like encouraged him to be like that?
Well, I was kind of thinking the way child celebrities get brainwashed and indoctrinated into this weird lifestyle. You know, like Michael Jackson could never live a normal life because as like an 8-year-old kid, he was forced into the limelight.
Yeah.
And that almost seems to me at the moment like that's what's happened to David, is that he's been pushed into this thing to cure him. And then because they all believe in it, it's like, well, yeah, no, we could make him a very big player in this, you know?
Yeah.
And from a young age, he's been pushed into it, immersed in it, doesn't know anything else.
Yeah, I suppose that is true to some degree, to be fair. Yeah, because he rose the ranks very quickly. So, like, when he finished high school, he joined Hubbard in his quest to spread Scientology by officially becoming a member of Hubbard's Sea Organization, like I mentioned before, the fleet. And he actually joined a sector of Scientology called the CMO, which stands for the Commodore's Messenger Organization.
Yes, that's right. Because L. Ron Hubbard did actually pronounce himself the Commodore of the fleet, didn't
yes.
he?
Yes. Yeah. And what I find amazing is how many sections they just keep creating. Like, we need this organization, we need this one, we need this one. It gets so crazy.
It's kind of like that compartmentalized government system that we talked about in the whistleblower episode, isn't it? You know, keep it all under wraps. You only know what you need to know, and we'll just create a little cell, if you like.
Yes. Yeah. And as part of being a member of the CMO, jobs included running personal errands and delivering executive directions to management from L. Ron Hubbard himself. So okay, it was a very important job. He swiftly rose the ranks and began working directly with Hubbard as his number two. And some of his jobs included filming training programs and learning as much as he could, almost as if he knew, I'm going to be the next big thing.
Top dog, yeah.
By 19... he was the head of the CMO.
Oh, right, okay.
At the age of 19. And by the age of 21, found himself in charge of Hubbard's legal issues, literary and financial affairs.
Okay, yeah.
By the age of 21.
Wow.
It's impressive.
So, yeah, that's quite a resume, yeah.
Like you say, it is almost like I don't think groom's the right word, but like
not grooming.
It's almost like they
he's been manipulated from a young age. You know, this is the way this is the path that you're going to take in life.
Mm.
There's no veering off that path. That's set for. There's no way he could have got out of that if he wanted to.
I mean, imagine if you're 19 and you're getting made the head of a company, like a subsection of a company. Why would you leave? Would you?
No, not at
all. So he then, up until Hubbard's death, worked hard for the church, dealing with copyrights, properties, and generally making Scientology a thriving business as well as a church. So he kind of took the responsibilities of making it.
Why do I always say I don't subscribe to organized religion? Because it's just business.
Mm-hmm. So when Hubbard died in 1986, Pat and Annie, who had also been working directly with Hubbard, excuse me, for a number of years since he stepped back in 1966, found out that after only 1 year of being in charge of Scientology, David Miscavige had accused them of forging the personal memo in which Hubbard had made them the new leaders.
Right.
Only 1 year after his death, and with lawyers involved, by 1987, David Miscavige was the new leader and chairman of the board of Scientology. He is the highest-ranking member of the church. Still to this day.
The CEO, the commanding officer. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
And I've put in brackets here, new Hubbard.
The new Hubbard.
Because there is not every Scientologist, but a lot of Scientologists think that he is like the second coming of Hubbard.
Yeah,
like,
he's the new prophet.
Yes.
Like we said last week, that Hubbard had made himself a prophet of this religion, and obviously now Miscavige has stepped into that role of prophet.
Yeah, that's basically what has happened.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, Pirate. David Miscavige doesn't seem like a very nice person to me.
There's a surprise.
I know.
Considering how influenced he was by whom, it's not really a surprise.
And we're going to take a little deep dive into some of the skeletons in the closet. So,
oh, good. Here come the YouTube comments.
Yeah. So, again, you can find this online. I'm just repeating what I've seen and what I've found and what I've read. So, since Miscavige has become leader of Scientology, there has been numerous accounts of illegal and unethical practices by the church and Miscavige himself. Magazines and newspapers describe Miscavige as a ringleader to a hugely profitable global racket that survives by intimidating members and critics in a mafia-like manner.
The cartel!
Which is exactly what you said last episode. Yeah. So, Miscavige has rarely spoken directly to the press, resulting in only 3 interviews ever, 1 on screen and 2 written articles.
Okay.
Former member Don Larson says Miscavige was physically violent towards staff members, emotionally tormented, and was extremely cruel and degrading. Scientology had a meeting with the IRS, which resulted in Miscavige offering to cease Scientology's lawsuits against the IRS in exchange for tax exemptions. They agreed, and Scientology was officially recognized as a non-profit organization in the US.
So they got several entire towns. They got Clearwater, they got Gold Base, probably some other ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's where the profit's gone.
Yeah. Well, they're non-profit, though, Pirate, you know?
Well, that's so nice.
Miscavige then returned to the church in Los Angeles, where he gave a 2.5-hour speech ending with the war is over, and received a 10-minute standing ovation.
Oh, wow. I bet he felt good about that.
Yeah. After the IRS thing, he gets a standing ovation. So in 2009, in a series of interviews, a man called Mike Rinder, a former Scientologist, claimed Miscavige was physical and would regularly attack staff members in a room called The Hole within the church headquarters. Other Scientologists have claimed to witness and receive the same treatment from Miscavige.
In The Hole?
In The Hole. That's what they dubbed it.
Sounds like an oubliette to me.
Yes, you mentioned the oubliette.
Yeah, so I told you the other day, an oubliette was, I think it was from French dungeons, where it was basically, it wasn't even a room, it was basically kind of a pit in the ground that they'd just throw people down and forget about them, and you just have a horrible, starving, thirsty death. And that's what the hole sounds like to me.
Luckily, they didn't go that far with it. But it's still absolutely terrifying. And I should just mention, Mike Rinder was actually quite up there. I couldn't find what OT he was.
Right.
But he was respected and high up in the ranks.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
But I should just mention, Scientology denies all of these reports.
Oh, okay, so it didn't happen.
Yep, didn't happen.
Fair enough.
Allegedly didn't happen. So the FBI... Yeah, also,
El Chapo said the same thing.
Yeah. And I will warn you, there's going to be a few allegedlies pop up, and it's going to be annoying for the listeners and the viewers, but I have to do it.
Kind of covering our backs a little bit. Yeah,
because we know what Scientologists are like, allegedly. So the FBI... The FBI also conducted an investigation into Miscavige for human trafficking and slavery. He is also the subject of ongoing lawsuits involving child abuse and forced labor. The FBI planned a raid before the investigation was discontinued.
Oh.
I wonder why. I wonder how that happened. So, an unnamed female accused and filed a lawsuit against Scientology and Miscavige for kidnapping, stalking, libel, slander, and invasion of privacy. Lawyers for Scientology convinced the judge to move the case to internal church arbitration?
Arbitration, yeah.
Yes, nailed it. So basically, forgotten about.
Yeah, it would take that away from the magistrates and the Crown Court or whatever it was, and we'll just hold the hearing internally within our church.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's shady, isn't it?
Yes, very shady. And it's about to get shadier.
Particularly considering those allegations are really quite serious allegations.
Yeah, well, some would say some of the most serious allegations you can get. And again, Google it. Search engine. Whatever you like, it's there.
So it's there. It's out there.
So I will just mention this one as well. It is an ongoing court case that hasn't reached trial yet. So,
okay.
I mean, we don't know the result of that. So I will say allegedly again. But Danny Masterson, he was Hyde in the 70s show.
Yeah, I was going to say that name rings a bell, yeah, yeah.
Also a Scientologist, as well as his whole family. So they filed he filed a lawsuit against Miscavige for involvement of rape claims. And they also tried to make that internal, but failed, with Masterson being sent to trial in September 2023 and faces up to 30 years in prison. So that's what I mean. It hasn't come to trial yet. Again, Scientology tried to kind of get it back into the church.
Oh, Danny Masterson is accused of these offences?
Yes.
Fair enough. Yes. Okay.
And from what I read here, he is suing Miscavige for either some involvement or knowing about it or whatever.
Okay.
And Scientology tried to do the same thing as they did with this unnamed female and say, no, we'll handle it with the church.
Close it all into a box.
And thankfully the courts were like, no, this is serious. We'll deal with it. So the trial hasn't happened. It's scheduled for September of this year. And he could face up to 30 years in prison. But again, he's a Scientologist. So again, I'm just painting a picture of how nice these people are, allegedly.
Yeah.
So Miscavige married his fellow Sea Org member, Michelle Diane Shelley, as people knew her.
Shelley. Yeah. Right, okay.
In 1982, she was reported to have set up a program to find a new girlfriend for Tom Cruise after he had split from Penelope Cruz. Cruz's attorney denies that this ever happened. So I have to throw that in.
Fair
there.
Enough. But, yeah, so that's just another allegedly.
Yes, allegedly. But Shelley Miscavige has not been seen since 2007, last being spotted at her own father's funeral. So if people want to do the maths there, that's 16 years.
She's been either out of the public eye or, has been misplaced somewhere.
Yeah, and it's...
possibly in the hole.
Well, this is the thing. There has been rumours of all sorts with her, but no one actually knows, so I won't go into those theories about what happened, because...
we can't even say allegedly on that one.
No,
so,
I'm not even going to go into it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
But what I can say about it, Pirate, is...
It's weird, isn't it?
It's a lot of some of this stuff is... it's like a real grey area, because... Yeah. We don't want unnecessarily have targets on our backs, but at the same time, it's there's a lot of stuff there that I could go into theories, but that's just all they are. They're just theories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I don't want to get us in trouble. I'm only going and reading the stuff that is
stuff
out
that you
there.
Found that, as far as we can tell, is fact.
So some of the stuff, people can connect the dots and come to their own conclusions about what happened to Shelley Miscavige.
That's fair enough.
But I will tell you, at least two missing persons reports have been filed with Shelley Miscavige. But within hours, the LAPD closed the case, stating that they have found her and she is absolutely fine. She just wants to lead a private life and continue to worship the church privately.
As a hermit.
Yes. And the church has not commented on Shelley's location.
Right.
So they're not answering any questions about it. And people and ex-Scientologists claim the LAPD are being paid off by the church as pushing the investigation is a conflict of interest. So there is supposedly Scientologists within the LAPD.
It would not surprise me.
Allegedly.
Allegedly,
so
yeah.
So that's all I will say about
his wife. They won't, I mean, you said that they won't disclose any information on her location. You'd have thought, being the wife of the head honcho, she'd be at Gold Base somewhere.
That's where they think she is.
That, you know, just, you know, that's what you'd naturally assume, isn't it?
Yeah. But also, I will say that upon the research, Shelley was very much with David pretty much everywhere she went.
Right.
So it's not like she was behind the scenes and she's vanished. Scientologists knew her. She had friends in the community.
Yeah, well,
so,
she would have been a respected member of the community, wouldn't she?
Yeah.
Being the wife of David Miscavige, I mean.
Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, she's just not there anymore. Gone, vanished.
That is strange.
Has not been seen since 2007. And still to this day, no one knows where she is.
Yeah.
Scientology won't comment on it.
Very strange.
So, Miscavige's father left Scientology in 2012, and they do not speak, can't stand each other. Allegedly, David hired a private detective to follow, track, and spy, and eavesdrop, and even put GPS units on his father Ronald's car for 18 months. And the hitman was paid $10,000 a week to do this. To the point, mate, this is very interesting. On one of these spying occasions of following David Miscavige's father, they thought he was having a heart attack. And allegedly, David said that if he's having a heart attack, do not intervene. It is his time.
Nice.
So, allegedly. So, Ronald, after this, or Ron as people knew him,
right? Yeah.
He published a book titled Ruthless Scientology, My Son David Miscavige and Me. So he's published a book about it. He's not a Scientologist anymore. And David's older brother, Ronnie, also left Scientology in 2000. David's niece, Jenna Miscavige, she left in 2005 and also published a book titled Beyond Belief, My Secret Life Inside Scientology and My Harrowing Escape. And that's his niece.
Yeah.
So there's that. And I will just touch on here.
So pretty much everybody who tries to leave Scientology has a hard time doing it by the sounds of things.
Oh, yeah. And they feel like they have to publish these books because of everything that happens within Scientology. It's almost unbelievable, some of the stories and the things that you hear. So they're publishing these books to be like, no, this is my story. This is the truth.
Because this is what happened to me. Yeah.
They've heard someone else, and one person's account to them, if you've got one person saying like, yeah, I was physically attacked and I was tormented, this, that, and the other, people will just go, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
The more people that leave Scientology that just keep producing these and publishing these books, you're starting to get a collection of like similar stories. And before you know it, you've got 50 plus people.
And when that happens, I mean, there's got to be some truth to it, doesn't there?
Yeah. There's
three sides to every story.
Mm-hmm.
There's yours, mine, and the truth, isn't there?
Yeah.
But when more and more people start saying the same thing, the two of those sides start getting closer together, don't they?
Yeah, there's got to be truth there.
Yeah.
There's. Where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yes.
That's what they say.
Very good.
And I will just touch on, I couldn't actually find a lot about, I said David Miscavige had a twin sister, Denise.
Yeah.
I couldn't find out whether she was still in Scientology or not. But what I did find out, just a little tidbit here, is allegedly twin sister Denise was hired by a Scientologist donor company where Denise was allegedly involved in an accounting scandal.
Okay.
So again, just point, kind of painting this picture of this family and what they're...
All the, yeah, all the dodgy, shady dealings that like, they go through.
Like brother, like sister, maybe. Do you know what I mean?
Maybe, maybe. Who knows?
So that is David Miscavige. He is the current leader of Scientology, and I've pretty much wrapped him up into a nice little bow
what
now.
What a stand-up guy.
Yeah, so think of him what you will. And again, I will just say, I know I keep saying it, this information is out there. I'm just telling you what I found within a few hours of research.
Yeah, yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm not making any of this up. You can find this information. So I'm just going to quickly transition into...
Pop culture.
Pop culture is basically where
it's
I'm
always
going.
Your bag, isn't it?
And I will just say, to transition into this, David Miscavige was the best man at Tom Cruise's wedding to Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
So that brings me to Tom Cruise.
It's kind of like, you'd almost think that if David Miscavige is the head of Scientology, Tom Cruise would be getting married through a Scientologist minister, you would have thought.
Maybe he did, I don't know.
I mean, there's not a lot of difference between the best man or the minister of the wedding.
So good, so good, so good.
Perfect gifts? We've got them at Nordstrom Rack stores now. UGG, Nike, Barefoot Dreams, Kate Spade New York, and more. Find everything on their wish list all in one place.
Steve Madden? Yes, please.
It's perfect.
Did we just score?
The greatest gifts of all time? Yeah.
Head to your Nordstrom Rack store to score. Great brands, great prices, the greatest gifts of all time.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
I think if I was that high up in a religious organization, I'd want him being the guy conducting the service, not just stood next to me.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Do you know what I mean? But then, I mean, that's just my personal take
on
it.
Yeah, I suppose legally we don't know the ins and outs of whether you have to be a registered legal person. I have no idea what it
is. I don't know, yeah.
But the really nice person that is David Miscavige was the best man at Tom Cruise's wedding. So,
fair enough, yeah.
Now I'm going to read you some pop culture facts about celebrities and starting with Tom Cruise. So I will just
say Tom Cruise is probably the best known Scientologist, isn't he?
Yeah, he seems to be the celebrity face of Scientology.
Yeah, and there's been like lots and lots of reports of him doing, you know, asking for weird stuff because of Scientology. Like the whole birth of his child was like done in silence, and you know, stuff like that, wasn't it? There's always been story ever since I can remember about Tom Cruise and Scientology.
Yeah, and I will just say when a lot of celebrities and the public, I suppose, people that have met Tom Cruise, when they were just asked in general conversation, like, oh, describe him in one word, that one word was intense.
I'll bet, yeah.
So I will just start off with the positives about Tom Cruise.
Yeah, go for it, yeah. Well, you can't be that bad a guy, can you?
I mean, we can just say, established actor, he is good at acting.
Yeah, yeah, he's got some top-notch films.
Really good films.
In fairness.
Even, what was the one that came out? Top Gun?
Top Gun Maverick.
Maverick, that was it. It wasn't, I was about to say Top Gun 2, but it wasn't. It was Maverick, wasn't it?
Well, it kind of was Top Gun 2, but yeah, they called it, yeah, Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah, so he's
one of my favourites was American Made. There was another one in the plains. You remember when he was running drugs for Pablo Escobar and that? Have you not seen that one?
No,
that's good. It's a really good film, yeah.
But he's established that. He's had blockbuster hits.
Oh, loads of them.
And I'm not discrediting that at all. Like,
no,
he
not
does
at all.
His own stunts.
His career is impeccable, really, isn't it? Yeah.
And he has done a lot of his own stunts, if not all of them himself.
Yeah,
so, you know, he takes acting and making films very seriously. That is his passion. Yeah. I'm not disrespecting that at all.
No, not at all.
I'm just disrespecting his religion. So I will just mention another positive is other celebrities and people who have met Mr. Cruz says he's actually really nice and he has an impeccable memory where he can remember everyone's names. So even so, if anyone met him and introduced themselves, you would meet him again a few years later and he would remember your name. Yeah, like he's very, very good at remembering everybody's name.
Josh, Paranormality, UK, the podcast guy, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's actually supposedly very upbeat and very positive. And
he always seems like that when he's doing his promotions for his films. He almost seems like that lad next door, doesn't he, you know?
Yeah.
That's the character he puts out there to the public, at least, you know. I mean, let's have a look at what goes on in his inner circles then.
Well, allegedly he has aides that aides that assist him very quickly.
You said he had aides.
Exactly. That's why I wanted to say it quick, because people go, "What? He's got aides?" No. Allegedly has aides that assist and help him with every movie, surrounding themselves around Tom, almost like a supportive wall.
Like an entourage.
An entourage. Yeah, yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Not a wall made of people.
Or aides.
Or aides. Yeah, you know, he does not have AIDS. Well, as far as we know,
he doesn't. As far as we know, no. It's an entourage, not AIDS.
So supposedly, this entourage... I'll scribble out the word.
Yeah,
AIDS,
you're going to change the name of it every time now. Yeah.
So supposedly, this... or allegedly, this entourage that are around him all the time, also some of them play extras in his films and things.
Okay, yeah.
They are not allowed to answer back or question his directions. And some say that they are more like servants, borderline slaves.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Allegedly. So I've already said one word people use is intense. And I will just refer to, there is one interview on YouTube with Tom Cruise that you can watch it. If you type in Matt Lauer, that is spelled Lauer, Matt Lauer.
Right, yeah.
He is having an interview, obviously doing the usual, promoting a film and stuff like that. And I don't know the background story of Tom Cruise's ex-girlfriend, Brooke Shields. I'm not into like celebrity relationships and stuff like that.
No.
I'm not going to theorize on what happened and stuff like that, but something happened and this guy mentions her. And Tom Cruise starts off by saying, yeah, he really respects her, loves her as a person, this, that, and the other. And something involving it was psychiatry and drugs and things like that was mentioned. And you see Tom Cruise switch. You see his eyes and he becomes very angry, very...
Oh, right.
It's almost like it's just a switch, man. And I would recommend... I'm not going to go through some quotes and things that he was outraged by and what he said. It's not a long video. It's maybe like 8 minutes.
Worth a watch.
It's worth a watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Tom Cruise, Matt Lauer interview. You'll see it and tell me right in the comments when you see that switch, because it is instant and it's crazy. But in that interview, I will just touch on, he says that he doesn't agree with psychiatry and never has done.
Okay.
What the last thing I'll mention about Tom Cruise, because I don't want to spend too much time badgering Tom Cruise, because I do like his films and stuff, is a lot of people say, well, why does he stay in Scientology? Why doesn't he leave? Like, he seems like a really normal, nice, down-to-earth person.
Yeah, he's not the kind of guy that you'd imagine would want to beat people up or, you know, mistreat, torment, you know,
he doesn't seem the type.
He does come out as a genuinely nice guy, doesn't he?
Yeah, and a lot of celebrities that have met him and worked with him all say nice things about him, so he can't be all bad. Mm. But that does come up quite often. They're like, why is he part of this crazy thing? Like, why is he in Scientology? And allegedly, there's one word, and that is power.
Right.
He is basically... David Miscavige was the best man at his wedding.
Is he an OH?
He's an OT8.
OT8.
And if there's one above OT8,
He would be that, yeah.
Yeah, he has a lot of power and...
A lot of influence.
A lot of influence. And people say that to some degree, Scientology is actually scarier than the Hollywood elite. Like, they have a lot of power.
Yeah. So, and like we've mentioned before on previous podcasts, the people who have power are reluctant to relinquish that power.
Yeah,
no matter what your personal beliefs are, when you've got that power, you don't want to let go of it, do you?
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that would account for like maybe 99% of people that had that kind of power. You're not going to want to get rid of it. So that's it for Tom Cruise. I mean, there is other stories and things.
There's plenty on the internet that you can go and look up for Tom Cruise and Scientology.
Yeah, look it up yourself, connect the dots. But I'm just going to quickly mention some other celebrities that are Scientologists that people may or may not know.
Okay. So
John Travolta is a Scientologist.
I could name two celebrity Scientologists, and you've just literally named the second one.
Yep. And to be honest with you, they're probably the most two famous ones.
Yeah, probably.
After that, you start getting to the B-list, the C-list, and then eventually people are going to go, I've never heard of them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Tom Cruise and John Travolta, the main two. Again, I'll start off positive. A lot of people say John Travolta is very funny, very sweet, very charming. Mm-hmm. People that have worked with him love working with him. He's very caring for his family, big family man.
Yeah.
You know, really nice guy. And to be honest with you, John Travolta, he doesn't push his beliefs on people. He's not trying to get people to join Scientology. He kind of keeps himself to himself. That's what he believes in. He gets the benefits from Scientology, and he kind of keeps it at that. So I'm not going to badmouth John Travolta, really.
Yeah, no, fair
Plus,
enough.
Plus, Pulp Fiction is like my all-time favorite film of forever, apart fair from enough. Star Wars. So I actually quite like him. But one thing I will just say about John Travolta, which I found very interesting, which doesn't say a lot about him, but more the religion or the church.
Yeah.
He is allegedly given a designated program called KUKON. And this is a policy which is basically, if you kill a human being, we will get rid of the body, no questions asked.
Right.
So he's part of that. He was basically told by Scientologists, oh, you can go on this program. So, you know, if you do something absolutely terrible, don't worry about it. We'll cover it up.
Slate will be clean. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm definitely not saying John Travolta's killed anyone. I'm not saying
that. No.
I'm saying that he is part of this program, allegedly.
Allegedly, that if he did do something, to be honest, probably not just killing people, it's pretty much any misdemeanor, they will just make sure that that slate is wiped clean.
Yes. Yeah. So that's all I've got on John Travolta. Because I like the guy, so I'm not gonna say him. And also, that's not saying anything about him. So I just want to quickly touch on a few other celebrities, because I know we're getting on for a bit of time here. But
that's all right, take the time you need.
So, other celebrities include Elizabeth Moss. People might know her from Handmaid's Tale or the film The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
She's a Scientologist. This one really surprised me. Lisa Marie Presley and her daughter Riley Keough.
Really?
Yes. So
Elvis Presley's daughter.
And granddaughter. Yeah, Scientologists.
I wonder how Elvis would feel about that.
Yeah. Yeah, odd. Well, maybe Elvis would be a member. Who knows?
Who knows, yeah.
Also, I've touched on Danny Masterson, but Christopher Masterson is here. I think it's his older brother or younger brother. People would probably most famously know him as the brother in Malcolm in the Middle that was in the army.
Oh, yeah. I know
that
guy. Yeah.
And then also their sister, Alana Masterson, who plays Tara in Walking Dead.
Yes.
So all three of those siblings, they're all Scientologists.
Right, okay, yeah.
This one, the last celebrity I will mention, Nancy Cartwright. People will know her as the Bart Simpson. Yeah. And
wow.
She has allegedly donated up to $10 million to Scientology. Yeah, she's up there. She's deep in the Scientology.
She might be a level two by now then.
yeah. So that's all the other celebrities I could kind of find with some sort of name to them. So now I'm going to get into the bit we've all been waiting for.
Yes.
This is the juicy stuff.
Right.
So
you're actually going to tell us what they actually believe in.
Yeah, I'm going to build up to it. I'm going to build up to it because I got some of this information from a woman called Leah Remini.
Yep.
She was the actress on King of Queens, which was a sitcom with Kevin James.
Yeah.
I think it was like early 2000s or something.
Oh, I think you still find it on the TV today, can't you?
Yeah,
Netflix, perhaps. I think. I'm sure I've seen it somewhere.
It's kind of like Friends, isn't it?
Yeah,
where
it's
like it's an old sitcom.
Yeah.
But much love and respect to Leah Remini. She is very outspoken. Her whole family were Scientologists.
Yeah.
She actually got to OT5, and
right.
her mother was an OT8, which is the top level.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
she is not a Scientologist anymore. Neither is her husband. And she says, first of all, she again starts with the positive. So she says there's actually a lot of good people in Scientology that set an example and help friends and family, but it's also very cliquey. They only seem to help other fellow Scientologists,
yeah,
if you know
yeah.
what I mean. Like I said, her whole family are Scientologists and have been for many years. She was told very young she is a spirit in a body, and she picked her own mother.
Right.
So again, from a very young age, kind of being allegedly brainwashed
yeah.
into thinking a certain way. Leah Remini also calls it a cult. She does not call it a religion. She says it's, again, it's like the elite of the world.
Yeah.
So, but I will just say as well,
they don't like being called a cult.
They do not
do
like
they?
Being called a cult. I didn't call her a cult. Leah
no,
Remini
Leah,
did.
Leah did, yeah.
And you can watch her whole interview. The one I would say is the most fascinating is the Joe Rogan Experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Fellow
yeah.
podcast, episode 908. It's about 2 hours long, but it is worth every minute. It is so fascinating.
Joe does do some long podcasts.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
and he is asking all the right questions. He's like not messing around. He's getting to the information.
Yeah.
And she's just being very outspoken, very honest. And you've got to watch it for yourself, because I'm not going to go into everything she says.
I will, yeah, yeah.
But honestly, it's one of the best interviews, and I was so fascinated by it. And she, don't get me wrong, I will just say, like, she's a little bit kooky, like a little bit weird, but in a good way, if you know what I mean.
I think she'd have to be a little bit kooky to have got involved in all this in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. But she really does come across as such a lovely person who's just
yeah.
telling her story. So when I say weird and kooky, I mean it in an honestly a good way.
A nice way.
Yeah. yeah. So
eccentric.
Yeah, and she also, we've already touched on the levels, but
yeah.
she was basically saying that you have to kind of pay
your way
to get,
up.
To get
yeah,
your way
yeah.
up. And then she was the one in the interview that said about the bridge in OT8. And here we go. OT stands for Operating Thetan.
Oh, okay.
There
yeah.
we go. So this is where we get into touching a little bit back on David Miscavige's wife.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Leah Remini also questioned where David Miscavige's wife was, and at Tom Cruise's wedding, because
yeah.
that was the first instance where she thought, hang on a second.
That's a bit weird that she hadn't turned up.
Yeah,
yeah
his
okay.
wife is not at a wedding.
Yeah.
Very odd. And do you remember the last episode I said that they kind of snitch on each other? Like they write full-on reports?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Leah Remini, good on you, girl. She wrote reports about Tom Cruise and David Miscavige.
Really?
Yeah, which unfortunately made herself a target.
Yeah, I would say it did, yeah.
But in her defense, like she said in the interview, she's only doing what she's told to do.
Yeah.
Like as part of their
as
religion.
Part of their instructions, yeah.
They're told if you see something that discourages or whatever with it goes against Scientology, you have to write a report. That's exactly what she did. So
they didn't like that very much?
No, they did not.
No.
And because they didn't like it very much, she was told to let it go. All her reports and stuff, they were like, no, let it go. We feel bad for the way we spoke to you before and stuff, but you've just got to let it go. So then she was told to go down to Clearwater, Florida, to one of their home bases.
Yeah.
She was interrogated for 3 months.
Really?
For 3 months, just trying to get information out of her and, you know, accusing her of stuff.
What are your crimes?
What are your crimes?
What have you done? Yeah.
All of that stuff. And she talks about it openly. So now, I've already touched on OT3 is the level where Scientologists learn what the religion really believes. Leah says they took her into a room.
This is when she reached OT3.
This is when she reached OT3.
Yeah.
So Leah says they took her into a room with her mother in which there was a security guard, and she was told to sign documents. She was then given a briefcase with a code. You then have to open the briefcase so they can put the material inside the briefcase, and then you have to attach it to your own body. So whether that's rope, whatever.
Probably a handcuff or something like that. Yeah.
I think she said it definitely wasn't handcuffed, but it was like some sort of rope or material. Okay. So you've got it on you. So yeah. You cannot lose that. So after it's locked to your body, you then go into a separate room. And there's doors in between these rooms. Very secretive. Once you're in the room, you open the briefcase and you get all the answers you've been asking for years. So now I'm going to tell you what Scientologists actually believe. And
what's
this,
in that briefcase?
This is what's in that briefcase. Okay. Now, I will just say, before I go into it, it wasn't just Leah Remini, because I want to back her up here. A lot of it is what she said was in the briefcase. Yeah. But I've also, because if you watch the interview, you'll see she doesn't word for word quote. You know, she just goes into a little bit of what they believe.
Yeah.
So I actually went using Leah Remini's thing and a little bit of shout out to South Park and
South Park did do an expose, didn't they?
Yes, and a few other resources, and this is what they believe. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go. Hang for on. It.
Let me clip. Right, are you ready? This is the juiciest part.
Okay, let you have a quick drink so you
right.
Put some moisture in your mouth.
Okay. What Scientologists actually believe is 75 million years ago, there was a galactic federation of planets ruled over by the evil Lord Xenu. Xenu thought the galaxy was overpopulated, so rounded up millions of aliens from different planets and had them frozen. The frozen aliens were then taken to Earth and dumped into volcanoes. The souls of these aliens upon death all floated towards the sky, but Xenu foresaw this and didn't want their souls to return. So he built a giant soul catcher in the sky. The souls were then taken to a facility where they were fed with material that led them into believing a false reality. Xenu then released the alien souls, which roamed the Earth until the dawn of man, which the souls then attached themselves to all of mankind, which still to this day causes all of our fears, confusions, and problems. Does that make sense to you?
No. That honestly sounds like some weird science fiction novel. To be honest.
Yeah, funny that, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure why I could make that connection.
I know what you mean.
The souls of, all these people that have been thrown into a volcano, they are the Thetans.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick a hole here in the whole of Scientology.
Yep. Please do.
If this was, in fact, the case that Lord Xenu had done this thing and what was it, he rounded up millions of people.
Millions of aliens. Yeah.
Basically killed them all.
Yeah.
By dropping them into a volcano.
Yeah, he froze them first, though.
Froze them first. Well, you know, hot, cold. Right. Now, all these souls then came out of the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going to go back to
all their planets.
The afterlife and the planets or whatever. But He
caught them.
Caught them and kept them here on Earth.
Yeah, they roamed the Earth until the dawn of man.
Until the dawn of man.
Yeah.
And then they, possessed
people? Yeah, they attached themselves to all of mankind. So me and you, sitting here now...
We have these
souls in our body that are filled with misinformation.
But surely that means there is only a finite number of Thetans. So while you might have one, how do I know that I have one?
Everybody has them.
But there's 8 billion people on the planet, Josh.
Yeah. Yeah, but he got millions of aliens from different planets.
Millions is not billions. There's still got to be quite a lot of people out there without a Thetan to attach to.
Right, so Lord Xenu,
yeah.
Respectfully, you got to respect Lord Xenu, right? He's of a course. Lord, right? He got millions...
Just like Lord Vader.
Yeah.
There he is.
Respect to you, Lord Vader. So he collected millions of aliens from several different planets. Obviously, that would accumulate to billions eventually, wouldn't it? So there's lots of...
But this is a one-time thing. How did he... This is the before the dawn of man.
Mm-hmm.
And for literally thousands and thousands of years,
yeah.
We were only like a maximum of like a couple of billion people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only within the last 200 years that our population has soared to the amount that we've got now.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's more people than what there should be Thetans to attach to. You know what I mean? So there's got to be a finite number of Scientologists.
But then they might turn around and say, that these souls are still wandering the earth, and when a baby is born, it's attached. So it's like a...
I'm not buying it, man. I'm not buying it.
No. But do you see where it links together? So what I'm saying is Lord Xenu released these souls.
Yeah. After,
and these souls were fed misinformation and lies and everything.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
They attach to the bodies. If you join Scientology, they make you become, or eventually you become a thetan and you become good again. Does that make sense?
Like not really. But you're still full of lies and...
Yeah, currently we're full of lies and evil. But if we join Scientology and they do these...
It would turn our thetans pure.
Yeah, and we become pure. Which leads me...
Sorry. I'm going to have to beep that out, but sorry. Yeah.
I mean, it's worth it. It's worth it. I knew there was going to be a beep at some point in this episode. And it's fine. It's understandable.
I got to be honest. Like, from my point of view, I mean, I covered the Gospel of the Flying Spaghetti Monster and Pastafarians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to me... I respect them more than these Scientologists, because at least the Pastafarians are going, yeah, we're spieling a load of bull, but
beep.
We can admit that it's bullshit.
Beep. You're getting riled up. You're giving yourself more work beeping this out.
Sorry, future me.
I understand your frustration, I do. And it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean... This and that is genuinely what they believe. If you want a recap of what I just read, where you think, oh, you kind of went a bit quick there, I couldn't keep up, all you need to do, go on YouTube, TikTok, whatever. South Park, Season 9, Episode 12. That's all you need to know. Yeah. And speaking of South Park, Isaac Hayes was a Scientologist.
Was he?
The reason Chef left the show was because they
did the Scientology episode.
Yeah, and he wasn't happy about it. Yeah,
and they probably kind of did him over for that as well, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they took him out there. Boy, did they take him out of South Park. And yeah, I don't know the episode what that is, but check that out as well. So we're coming to the awards end now, and rather than just keep going into things and repeating myself about stories and theories and stuff like that, there's just three things that you can check out for yourselves that are still going on today.
Yep.
And they are probably the three best representations of, if you want to learn more about Scientology, not join them, but learn about them.
You want to learn the dangers, learn what to avoid.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. So Going Clear... is it's like a documentary,
right.
2015 by filmmaker Alex Gibney, and that also interviews former members of the church. So again, you're getting
first-hand stories.
And Leah Remini also, and I've mentioned her before, but she has, I think it ended in 2019, but from the years of 2016 to 2019, she had a Netflix show called Scientology and the Aftermath. And her experiences, other people. And I will just say as well, because I didn't mention it before, I don't think I did, but her whole family, even her mother, who was an OT8, is no longer a Scientologist. So again, connect the dots. What does that tell you if another OT8 member
and
has
left? And didn't you tell me, obviously outside of this podcast, when we've just been discussing it at work and whatnot, that she's massively under like surveillance by them?
Leah Remini, So Leah Remini...
Oh, no, it was Tom Cruise's...
allegedly.
Ex-wife.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Was quite harassed by them when they separated.
Yes. Do you remember I briefly touched on Shelley Miscavige,
mm-hmm.
allegedly... I know I keep saying it, I apologise, but I don't want to get in trouble. Allegedly set up like a... what was it? Like an interview process to be Tom Cruise's new girlfriend.
Yeah.
It was her, allegedly... that was picked, I suppose, in a way. Didn't date Tom Cruise for long. I think I read six to nine months, something
fair
like
enough.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, a lot younger than Tom, but, you know,
not going to judge.
But she is supposedly the one that is been harassed, and there's stories of her... moving away, changing states.
Being followed.
And she will move into a house, and within 24 to 48 hours, either the house opposite or next door has been bought, and she can see people spying on her and watching her from roughly 8 in the morning to 8 at night.
And then not even trying to hide it.
Not even trying to hide it. Liam Remney says the reason that she's not really fussed about them, and the reason then they don't seem to be going
on. Kind of left her alone a little bit, yeah.
They've left her alone is because, in her words, she's speaking the truth. So because she's speaking the truth, harassing her and stuff
isn't going to help.
It's not going to get her to stop. No. And she's even said, like in the Joe Rogan interview, you know, you can besmirch my name, you can say all these things about me. It does not change the fact about what I'm saying is true to that religion. Yeah. So, I mean, good on her, respect to her. I didn't know much about Leah Remini before going into Scientology. And I love the woman. I think I'm going to go back and watch King of Queens because I find her really entertaining.
Yeah, yeah.
And generally, she's become one of my favorite celebrities. And I urge everyone, if there's one thing to watch from this, it's the Joe Rogan interview with her, episode 908. It's fascinating. It's amazing.
Fair play.
And that is Scientology.
Well done, mate. Well done. Yeah. So I guess somehow we've got to put this to the paranormality scale. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure how to do that. Normally with religions, well, with Pastafarianism, we just kind of rated it on how much we liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But generally with religions, we rate them on how believable they are.
Okay.
Or, do we?
You know what? I mean, I mean,
originally when we did like the first Christianity one, we sort of
it kind of was about how believable it is.
How believable, and
because we spoke about how there's good morals and things with Christianity and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe some of the stories you could believe them or not believe them. It's your choice, but the moral values that it teaches is good.
Yes.
Whereas with this one,
mm-hmm.
I can't say that same sentence without lying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know. So, I mean, crikey, how do we rate this?
If we want to go by how believable it is, and
0.0.
I mean, Scientology to me is an exception. If you want to go for the whole religion as a whole, just the whole of Scientology, believability, how much you like it, or whatever, my score isn't going to change, mate. I'll tell you right now. -9.
-9.
It's not as bad as Flat Earth, but it's up there for me. -9.
-9.
It's ludicrous. I think
it's dangerous.
It's just immoral.
Entirely unbelievable, immoral, unjust.
Yeah, and they're cowards as well. I will add that they are cowards because the people that have spoken out and said things and had actual experiences with them, they either just deny it all, they run away, or they try and sue you for it. Yeah. So they're not actually dealing with the issue.
No, do you know what I mean? Not at all, yeah.
So because they're cowards, and I just think it's really damaging to... And I feel sorry for all the kids out there where their families are involved in this and they're being brainwashed.
Got no choice in it.
And it's to me, it's just an absolute terrible religion, but that's my opinion.
That's fair enough. To be honest, I agree with you, mate. I'm gonna come down there with you. -9.9.
Yeah.
Same as the Flat Earth, they're just as bad.
Yes.
Worse.
It's not worse because Flat Earth makes my blood boil because it's so stupid. And I'm sorry, mate, you're going to have to add another beat. It's f***ing stupid, right? But this is just behind it for me. Yeah. Like, I just think after going down a deep dive, and that's the thing, I kind of rushed through this in a way to get through it, but there's so much more I could have gone into.
You did say to me the other night in a text message that you could probably make 3 or 4 parts to this. But
yes. So
we're doing Scientologists a favour by not doing more parts.
So you know what? I'm going to bump it up with you. -9.9. I kind of forgot. In my mind, I was thinking -9 is just underneath 10. But no, you're right, Pirate.
-9.9, mate. Yeah.
So Flat Earth is the worst, followed by Scientology, in my opinion. And that's my opinion, so you can't sue me on my opinion. I think it's terrible.
Yeah, there you go. No allegedly here.
It's ludicrous. So
it is. So if you're a Scientologist, don't write in.
Don't bother.
If you know a Scientologist... get away from them.
Yep.
If you want to be a Scientologist, take a long, hard look at your life.
Yep.
And your life choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess until next week, all we can do is leave it at that. And I'm going to say I'm Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
You've been waiting all year, and the moment is finally here. Bull & Branch is the bedding brand for better sleep, and their best sale of the year is happening now. Right now, you can get 25% off the organic cotton sheets loved by millions of sleepers. They feel breathable, luxuriously soft, and get softer with every wash. Shop Bull & Branch's cyber event with extended returns for the holiday season. Hurry to bullandbranch.com and use code BUTTERY for 25% off everything. Limited time only. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Bombas presents unsolicited gifting advice. Number one, if they say not to get them anything, get them something. Two, underwear is a great gift, just not for your boss. And three, those absurdly soft Bombas socks and slippers you've been eyeing for yourself, they'll love those. And the fact that for every item you purchase, another is donated to someone who needs it, they'll love that even more.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.